Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Today, Andy and I, hello, Andy.
Hello.
We're sharing a mic, but we'll make it work. Today, we are with Matt from Print Pro UK, who you recognise because he's already been on the podcast once, has not yet been on the podcast in person. So I am thrilled to be able to sit down with both Andy and Matt today, have a conversation, and it not be via a screen. So Matt, hello, welcome to Stars UK. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be here after seeing it behind the camera, all many, many videos every single week. No, it's nice. Yeah. Nice. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. This is the number one fan of the Garment Decorators podcast right here. So we had to have you back on again. Before we get started into today's topic, which is how to start a t-shirt business in 2025. That's probably the first time I've said that on camera. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about the event that you've been to today, because we are filming this after our winter warm-up event, which has literally just finished about 2 hours ago. I'm staring at chaos behind the camera because we are just, we've just jumped straight into this podcast to make sure we could get it done for you guys. How have you found the experience today? You traveled quite away for this event.
3.5 hours, but it was not too bad. It was quite smooth, but yeah, the event was good. It gave you a lot of insight into the size of the market for coats and jackets and winter wear. Also, Molly, you went through the arch method, so to try and eliminate any scorches in more delicate or trickier fabrics to print. So yeah, it was very good.
Yeah, we had a lot of positive feedback today, didn't we? How do you find it?
It's very good. It was interesting to see how many people weren't decorating jackets and coats. And anyone that's listening and hasn't thought about it, we are going to rerun that as a live event on our probably Friday live in a couple of weeks or a month or something like that.
The podcast might be out after.
Okay, well, maybe you've already watched it. We never know. But there was a lot of people that were apprehensive about it or hadn't really thought about the more premium market, which is interesting because it's a really good market to be into because the margins are so good in there, which is obviously, you know, something that people are often having trouble with is fighting those margins, fighting against other companies. You're like, yeah, I'll do it for £1 less. And it could be cutthroat, as you know, Matt, out there. So finding something where you can stand out in a little bit of a different area is really good. I think it was really helpful from that point of view as well.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good event. I was very happy with it. We had so much positive feedback from everyone that attended. It was a good day. So just a little reminder for those of you watching or listening, if you do want to come to a Stars UK event and you're not already on our email newsletter, then do make sure to go and subscribe to that. Just head to stars.co.uk. All of our events are free to attend. The goodie bag we gave away today was worth like £200 minimum. It is definitely worth coming, but obviously we only have so many seats, so they do sell out quickly. So make sure to get on that list to be made aware of future events. But enough about that. Let's move on to starting a print business, starting a t-shirt business. So what I really wanted to ask you about today, Matt, was obviously how long have you been running your business for now?
Since 2016, I know that. I've been telling people 2017, but a memory on Facebook or somewhere popped up on my phone of my very first setup, and it was
okay.
Just a terrible heat press with...
We won't name brands.
No. I don't even think it did have one, to be honest.
It didn't even have a name. It was that bad.
Small desk, one office printer, and that was dated February 2016, I think. Okay. Maybe October. I don't know. 2016.
So 8 years. Yeah, that's good. So that's kind of why I wanted to ask you these questions, because you've been through the journey, you've started the business, you've grown it, you've made mistakes, learned from them. And I know we touched on that a little bit in our last podcast, but I really wanted to just focus today on what you've learned over those 8 years of running Print Pro UK. Any advice you'd give to people who are thinking of starting up a business in 2025, what you'd do differently knowing what you know now, if there's anything for next year that's going to have changed for printers, just, yeah, we've got a fair few questions today. So where should we start? Where do you want to kick off?
One thing, I guess, for me, almost looking to the past to look to the future is, What do you think has changed the most since you started in terms of, I don't know, technology, approach, how you get business or issues you have within the business? What would you say the biggest changes you've seen?
Me personally first, I used to think that it was just very difficult. It was really difficult to get into. You had to know every single bit about it. But now, over the years, I've just learned that if you lean on some suppliers, if you ask for their help, they are there to help you. That's the whole point of them. Yes, of course, they want you to buy this stock and they're blank clothing and things, but they are there to help. If you can lean into those, then it's going to help you a lot. In terms of just trying to get in front of a customer, I used to think I have to buy the blank products, get the vinyl, print it on, do the physical product, which yes, it does help to show that physical product. But if you just want to quickly get in front of a potential customer, doing a quick digital mock-up, finding the blanks on the blank images from the suppliers, which they have just completely expanded. They've got tons and tons of blank products now, digital images, both model images and flatlay. And you can try and take the logo from the website and quickly just get it up on there, get it to the customer, add new products as well into it. So if it's not just t-shirts, you can like put together bundles which you think are appropriate for that business and that industry. So that technology, like lots of digital design software, has made that so much easier. And yes, of course, design software has always been there, but now I think it's a lot more accessible for more people, definitely.
I think the brands have definitely changed the way that they sort of approach their marketing now in terms of what they give our customers, because with the way social media has changed and the way that people sort of expect those free assets almost, and the second one brand does it, all the brands do it. So there is, you're right, this massive log of imagery now that you can all download for free, and videos as well. So many of the brands do videos, and obviously video content performs so well on socials. To be able to, you know, utilize that as well is fantastic.
I think that's a really good point, actually. It's the sort of limitations in terms of what you can do yourself are kind of really gone with, you know, like say with the assets the brands give you, even just programs like Canva, it means you can mock up your own stuff, make nice flyers yourself for a small fee rather than having to spend lots of money. You know, we were discussing it for your academy earlier, is that you know, you don't have to spend thousands of pounds on the computer, which maybe 8 years ago you might have actually had to do because Adobe products weren't, you needed something powerful to run them. Now, even a normal laptop with a, you know, decent enough can run most Adobe stuff, or you can just get something that's relatively low cost, but can do many of the same things. And you can kind of get in front of those people, get good stuff in front of them. And also, like I say, because if you're trying to do it individually, it's in their image as well, which means it's going to have much more resonance with them when they receive it.
Another thing that has drastically changed over the last however many years is just the development and technology in transfers, DTF transfers with the Ultracolor Max and the Ultracolor, and also the screen printer transfers. Yes, I know they have been around, but when I first started, I didn't know anything about it. I was just cutting vinyl, weeding vinyl, taking a long time doing each job.
How many days do you reckon you wasted weeding vinyl, Matt?
Oh my God. Who knows? Who knows? But now all of it is sort of, well, it can be completely eradicated from any business if they find a good supplier with good transfers and they know how to apply them correctly by listening to the supplier, then it's just massively changed.
It reminds me of something that happened. This is even before you started, Molly, is that when we talk about levers prints, because we manufacture more levers transfers than anyone, and which is the biggest one for people who are spending time cutting and weeding. And I remember, I think it was probably like 6 months or a year in, it was the first time we'd offered up our template. And I just put something on Facebook, like probably like 5:30, just before I was about to leave. And I was like, he wants to know how to do this about any cutting or weeding. And I think I went off to the cinema, maybe something like that. So my phone was off for a couple of hours. And I came out of the cinema and like, oh, the MD here is like, what's happened with Facebook? Like, because at that point, it's just me and him running marketing. And he's like, my phone's been going crazy. Something happened. And I realized that like no one had ever told anyone that you didn't have to cut or weed levers transfers before. And there was like 80 comments like, teach me. How did this happen? Because they're like, no one's ever like, don't do that. But, you know, it's part of the community and just knowledge will actually like, I guess no one was telling anyone you didn't have to do that, because you know, that's why we need academies and things like that to help people, because it's just a real knowledge gap. Like especially like in 2016, there was nothing to teach people.
Yeah, so just the introduction, the development of these transfers, and then going back to just being able to get a potential customer's logo, put it on as a digital mock-up. You know, I used to think, oh, I'm not going to show them this particular design. I might slightly modify their design, i.e. remove all color, just have one color, and then it'll be easier for me, and remove the small text, and it'll be easier for me to weed and to cut it and weed it. But now you're just completely, you're unlimited to what you can offer the customer. And that's just all down to the technology development, really.
It still baffles me a little bit how many people don't utilize the full benefits of it. Like, prime example, I was talking to a lady today who has been using our custom transfers for leaves prints. And she was, you know, bigging us up and saying how amazing they were. And I was like, yeah, keep talking. This is fantastic. Yeah, they're great. But there are still people out there that don't know how to utilize these transfers for their business. And I think where we live in a world where everything is so accessible online and we literally shout from the rooftops on a weekly basis about them, and some people still stumble across them on a daily basis and like, wow, this is amazing. And people are always learning. There's always going to be something new for you to discover. So if you are coming into the industry, I suppose it can be quite overwhelming in some ways, because there are a lot of different decoration methods when you think about it, but you don't really need all of them to be successful. You need a small handful of products, ultra color screen print, maybe utilize our max DTF if you want a small run, but you can be successful with just a handful of things, really.
Yeah, definitely. And it does go back to being able to lean on your supplier and, you know, try and build a good relationship with your supplier so they can point you in the direction and they can offer the advice on best transfers to use for whatever job, rather than just, you know, Google searching something, DTF transfers, because you know loads will come up. You don't know the quality of them. You don't know how good they are. Yes, they might be really cheap, but are they going to be the best quality? So try and get with a supplier that is just going to help you and guide you.
It also gets you like ahead of the game as well. I think that was something that was really important to me with this event today. And just, I think I know that you do it because you have a good relationship with your partners, but actually you might find that you're the first to know about a new hoodie type or a new color because you're spending time building these relationships. But, and you could be a startup that does this, as long as you might have to do more running because you know, if you're a smaller company, yeah, the brands might not necessarily call you back every day if you're doing like tens of thousands of pounds with them, but they'll talk to you if you ring them up. And the more you get to know them, you're sort of like, yeah, actually, you know what? There's this new hoodie coming out in a couple of months. You're going to love it. Or I've got this new color. It's going to be right up your street, or it's similar to the colors you're already working with. Or they'll just start to tell you more and more information about, you know, this product's great because of this. You know, I learned so much about coats in the last couple of weeks myself, because you start a couple of days, you're like, because you're like, oh, okay, I see that. You see them in person, or they get explained to you, and you're like, well, it's got this type of material into it. And you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. But then if you know, to your questions earlier about, okay, how can I, you know, stand out? It's like, actually, give that knowledge and be like, you're going to love this because this, this, and this, it's made up of this. You know, take someone else's information. It's from the supplier, but they're happy for you to have it. And just be like, yeah, try this, try this, try this. But it gets you ahead of the curve that way. So you can be the first to bring out, do you know what? I've heard that new hoodie's coming out the day it comes out. I'm ordering it. I'm getting samples. I'm mocking it up. I'm getting the access to the marketing portal first. But look what I've got. And everyone's like, oh, Matt's got something new. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. And I do have quite a few people ask me, would a rep come and see them, or just because they're small or just starting out? And I say, do not be afraid to ask a rep. They want you to use them. Ask for a sample. Then they're probably not going to kit out your whole garage or wherever you've got your showroom. They're not going to kit all that out necessarily, but they will give you a sample for you to try, for you to wear around. Don't be afraid to ask a rep.
That's a good point, because that's one of the best places to start as a business in 2025. So thinking back to your first self, Matt, you know, if someone, a rep, or even what you ask now, when a rep comes and visits you, which is probably more often these days, what are the questions that you ask, and what would you recommend people asking if someone comes and visits them?
I ask for a sample first off. I just ask, now I've just been doing it for a few more years, I ask about a bit more detail into it. Obviously, the organic cotton and the sustainable fabrics are coming out quite a lot. They're becoming a lot more popular. So the types of questions that I'm asking is just so I got a little bit more information to give the potential customer, rather than just saying, I've got a cotton t-shirt. I try and get a little bit more information out of them. And they're more than happy to tell you. They probably aren't been on the road all day telling all these different businesses about it. But try and just get that little bit more information, and also ask about pricing, and if you can move pricing down a little bit. All the suppliers, they do have different rates anyway, but like single pack and then carton rates. So maybe just don't be afraid to just talk to a rep, get to know them, ask them about a sample, ask them about pricing, ask them about a bit more detail so that it's always in the back of your mind to then go to the potential customer, show them that you've got a little bit more knowledge because you've been equipped with that knowledge from asking the rep.
Well, that's always what we say when we talk about taking products in for customers, like when you're trying to win over. We talk about this a lot when you're trying to win over like leavers customers, for example, or maybe slightly bigger corporate customers. And I know this is how to start your business, but when you grow and evolve, getting products in customers' hands is always a great way to start. But even if, like for the leavers one, for example, we always tell people to take in a full colour option, even if they don't go for it, because the fact that you've taken the initiative to take a different product in there show that you know more about different print processes and that you can offer them a range of this, like match the colour to their brand colour, their school colour, and make what you've got stand out, and they'll have confidence in you that you are the most knowledgeable, and then they're more likely to choose you, even if they do go with the single colour print.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, if you just put just a little bit more effort in rather than just giving a potential customer just general information and general products. And if you go in and their branding's completely navy and then you go and take them black samples,
well, like bright pink,
yeah, then it just doesn't create that good first impression. But if you do it, if you take just a little bit more time in researching their business, just a little bit, just go on their website, look at their brand colors, take that in, and then they can visualize their logo on that color garment then.
So I'm kind of intrigued to know, when you first started your business through to now, what has been your most popular product to print and decorate for your customers? Like, because I think everyone assumes it's t-shirts or sweatshirts or bags, or but there's so much stuff you can print on. Like, what has been your most popular product?
Obviously, I've done thousands of t-shirts, but people really do like a gilet. They
really?
Yes, they do. Obviously, they'll have a t-shirt, they'll have a hoodie and a sweatshirt. Everyone just loves to have a gilet. I'm not sure. Yes, of course, they're nice, but that is what lots of people do like.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of, if you're wearing it for like your work, for example, you might not wake up every morning and think to put a branded t-shirt on. But if you've got a couple of gilets lying around, it's easy to just throw one over. You're instantly branded, but you're not in a massive coat or a big hoodie or getting too hot, or I don't know, I can see that. Yeah,
people just love them. But now obviously we've gone to oversized everything, and some of them look really, really nice. Some of them don't suit me so well.
I don't know if oversized gilets would work. They'd just look like you'd bought three sizes too big.
Yeah. I'm talking about oversized
knees, t-shirt.
Like armholes all the way down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I don't know where to go from there then.
And I was just thinking of my brother-in-law was making fun of his girlfriend the other day because she had a bit of an oversized puff jacket. He's like, "Oh, you look a bit like Arsene Wenger," he said to her. Because he was always on the pitch line, like down to his ankles with the coat.
I take it that's not for the podcast.
I don't mind, yeah.
Oh, okay. But
I think it'd be like, well, what does an oversized gilet look like? But I guess someone's thinking about it probably, aren't they?
Yeah, possibly. I don't think I'm going to sell many of those, to be honest. No, but oversized t-shirts are just huge at the minute. I'm constantly being asked for oversized t-shirts, and there are a few brands that do it really, really well, and there are a few brands that are just out of stock quite a lot just because they're so popular.
I remember maybe I shouldn't say this. I'm kind of about to throw Andy under the bus a little bit and I'm second guessing myself now. But I remember when we first bought I'm not going to name the brand, but we bought a specific style of oversized t-shirt and we put like a really cool print on it. And one of the main comments I remember Andy saying to me is they were massively oversized. Like I put a small on and it came like down to my knees to the point where it was like the gilet joke. So Andy wore a small in the t-shirt. And I remember you coming in the next day and saying to me, "Oh, I'm just really pleased that when my wife washes these, she'll see that I'm wearing a small." And I was like, because it was such an oversized shirt.
Yeah, I was very happy to be like, "Yeah, I've lost a bit of weight. I'm in a small now." But they had a really nice, it was Build Your Brand, I think, and they had a really nice fit on the small ones. They fitted better than a lot of the normal t-shirts because they weren't boxy. They had a nice bit of tailoring to them, make you feel good putting a smaller size on.
They do actually have a t-shirt called Huge T, I think.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah. Well, the actual, like you say, the t-shirt itself was lovely. It was a great quality. It had a great fit to it, but it was just too oversized. So the sizing was probably a bit off. But yeah, Andy was loving it so small.
Yeah, I'm not. It doesn't suit me that well, the oversized stuff. But I'll happily print oversized stuff for all my customers. That's absolutely fine. Then they do get a lot of requests for it.
Do you have any print advice for people printing oversized? Because I've had a few questions on the Styles UK account about, you know, how do you get the right print size for an oversized shirt? Because we get questions all the time about if you're printing small, medium, large, does the print size have to change? But obviously, if you're doing oversized, that's then a whole nother factor to consider.
It's a difficult one because the oversized t-shirts, yes, they might be oversized, so there's a big space for you to print on, but they do obviously hang off the shoulder quite a lot. So unless somebody wanted like a big shoulder print from, like, you know, basically arm, shoulder to arm, then I'm not really going to be changing that much on it. So yeah, there's not really a massive amount. I just wouldn't want to increase the size of the print too much that then it just falls with the shoulders.
Yeah, and I suppose with that as well, if you can keep it to like an A3 or what you'd normally print, then you can just use the same transfer run or transfer order across small, medium, large and oversized and be able to offer that into your range without then having to factor in a whole other print order.
Yeah, and with the oversized prints, I do see a lot of people, they try and just go a lot bigger with them. Then they fall into the problem of the heat press size. And then they've got maybe the standard heat press or maybe slightly bigger. And then they just, of course, it can be done. You can print bigger prints than your heat press allows, but then you've got to be messing around. You've got to take it off the press. You've got to press it down and then slide it up a little bit. And I do find that people, especially if you're new, just bear that in mind, the actual size of your press.
I'll ask you about this actually, but the new jumbo prints that we have got allows you to order, obviously, the 40 by 50 size of the platen, along with some other things on there. But the print that Andy's wearing on the back of it is a full 40 by 50 print. And to be fair, that's probably the biggest you need to go, because any bigger, and like you said, it's going to be like coming round the sides a bit.
Yeah, this is a kind of a slightly oversized style loose fit hood as well. And it literally covers the whole of the back of the hoodie. Like, actually, some of it is covered up by the hood. So,
yeah, I couldn't avoid that. Sorry.
That's fine. That was is there to test, isn't it? And I think this is like a good, I think it's like 38 centimeters wide on the Styles print on my chest as well. So, you don't really need to go any bigger than the pattern anyway. And like you say, it can be, unless you're really good at artwork and you can kind of split the artwork perfectly in the middle somewhere without anyone noticing it, so you can join them back together, it's going to be hard. And there's going to be mistakes made where you didn't quite get one adjusted quite right, and the customer's not going to pay for that one. You're going to have to redo it again. I wouldn't go bigger than probably like 38.5 by 48.5, which is our just off the biggest size, because this means it gives you a little bit of room for error that way. Or if there's some seams that are kind of pull the top in a certain way, you're not going to have any issues. Okay, I've got a question. This is something that we actually didn't get too many responses to this, truth be told, but we were kind of asking some weirder questions, like, you know, what's the weirdest thing that someone's told you for not getting a job? But what advice would you give for someone, you know, because they're going to be talking to these customers and sometimes be like, yeah, that's great, let's work together. And sometimes they're going to be like, radio silence. Have you found that you can bring that order back around still? Or, you know, when do you know when a deal is dead and you should move past it?
I mean, don't just keep chasing and chasing and chasing, because you might just annoy them as much as you're going to try and attract them. So I just say, just try and get the initial sort of interaction right at the beginning, in terms of either digital mockups, either real life mockups, or giving the product to them in their hand. If you don't get a response, definitely don't drop your price. Definitely don't go chasing and chasing and chasing. Just give another email. Just say, I've sent over this quote, this mockup, but I haven't heard back yet. And that's it. They're going to come back to you with a reason then. And you're going to, once you find out that reason, then you can start trying to fix that reason why and try and address that reason why. So, but yeah, just one email back. Try not to chase.
In your 8 years experience running your print business, do you find that many customers come to you just sort of getting a bit of a feel for your pricing, but not really being that committed to the job? And the only reason I ask this is because I'm very much one of those people that before I buy something online, I'll look on every single website to see if I can get it cheaper somewhere else. That's easy enough to do online because you can jump in and out of websites without having to speak to anyone or waste anyone's time. But with a custom print order, I suppose it's a bit more difficult because you have to physically talk to that person or phone up that business and ask. Do you find that people often just ring up and sort of say, oh, how much is this? How much is that? And you have a flat price that you can just tell them? Or is it more people that are engaged in actually placing that order and it's more of a longer conversation?
A bit of both, really. At the beginning, when I first started, I didn't really have a website. I just had sold on Facebook. So my pricing wasn't really transparent. But now I think that if your pricing is quite transparent, if you show your prices, of course they're not going to be exact because there are lots of variables in garment decoration. But if you can try and be a little bit more upfront with your pricing, maybe have a core. If you're just starting out, if you just have like a core few products,
like a bit of a baseline to start with.
Yeah. So if you have. Because there's so many different products. If you were to just have 5 t-shirts, 5 sweatshirts, 5 hoodies, for example, you could price those up quite easily on a website because it's not too much work to do. You can easily just get those on a website and then you could have another page or just on the same page just saying what your decoration costs are. Again, it's not going to be exact because there are some variables, but it will just build a little bit more trust with the customer, definitely.
One of the questions we get asked, you know, that I want to ask you is, what is the one we discussed when you came on the podcast, you know, how you made a big mistake with one of your customers, but the relationship you had, you managed to correct it and it was okay in the end and you carried on that partnership. But is there anything that you make the mistake a lot that still now, is there anything that still catches you out? You're like, I wish I could eliminate this from, but it catches me sometimes here and now that, you know, so people can try and work on it themselves, perhaps. I'm thinking like placement, maybe. Threadability, yeah, that's the one that catches out. Or just like a bad habit that you're like, you used to have that you got rid of eventually. You'd be like, don't do this. It's a mistake or it's a waste of my time. I wish I didn't do that.
Actually, I've got two and they both and they both relate to this place, Styles. And
I don't know whether to be concerned.
The first one, I'm not amazing at printing upside down.
I'm glad you finished that sentence because I'm not amazing at printing would have been a really bad end to this podcast.
And as soon as I turn up here, I place a t-shirt on the platen and I'm immediately told, I cannot believe you come to this place and you haven't threaded the t-shirt.
You don't thread your t-shirt.
So yeah, that's something I definitely need to work on, definitely. And also, which I found out today, I have the cap press, the 360, and I was asking if it's okay to manually pull the press back up before it's finished.
Did you try it before you asked us? That means yes. Did it work?
Yes, but maybe I've been breaking the press slowly. Oh,
oh dear.
But I have been reliably informed that
the magic button
is just on the screen and you just tap it. So when you lock it in place and if you do want to raise the press up, then all you need to do is tap the button.
I will give you that though, because that button is not the most obvious of things. Like if you didn't know what it was and you didn't need to like press it for anything, I wouldn't think to just like press all the random buttons on it. And like, I think we only discovered it because we saw one of our colleagues in the US do it, because that button wasn't a feature when we first bought that press out. And I think I saw Kelly doing it and Andy was like, have you seen this? Like, does our press do this? So we came down and tried it and we were like, oh my God, it does.
No, I'm convinced it's not on my press.
Well, maybe I'll make you feel better because I'll share one that I'm trying to eliminate at the moment myself, is whenever we're doing lives and we're trying to present to camera or even just doing a video, I always want to be talking to people. I want to, you know, make sure I'm making eye contact and going through things. But it means that I'm always at the diagonal and I always get things skew-whiffed and they're never straight. So I've been trying to be like, I'm just being like, I'm really sorry. I'm going to turn my back to you because I'm going to get this right now. But if I do it off to the side, I never get it right. So if you're heat printing, be square on with your heat press and do your placement that way, because if you're not, it's going to be wrong every single time.
I have a follow-up question for you. So since you've been, how long have you been doing that, would you say, roughly? This year? Like putting your back to the camera and being like, I'm going to...
Probably like 3 or 4 months.
Okay, so in your 3 or 4 months of actively trying to get placement straight, have you been like, I'm really sorry, guys, I'm going to have to turn my back to you to get this straight, and then it'd been wonky anyway?
No, I'm getting it right. And I know, and anyone that watched the, you know, the sports game series for Styles will also see that I was also the quickest at getting it in the right place every single time as well. Gold medal champion.
I have no follow-up.
She invited me to do one TikTok series.
Hello. I'm still waiting for a trophy or a medal, though.
Got lost in the post.
Did it. But the thing to, as well, what I was going to get to is, if you're starting a business, is like, don't be afraid to make mistakes, but do try and factor in a couple of mistakes when you're ordering. So if you're making 25 T-shirts, get 27 or 28. Charge the customer for them. You know, it could be like 10p across every single one of them, but give yourself the chance to make mistakes or get it wrong or figure it out, especially if it's a new product. That way you're not going to be losing money on the job because they've paid for it, which I think is a good way to start. Do you get over to, I mean, you have a good relationship with your partner, so you get the samples now, you try it, you figure it out, but you do need to make sure you have time to test. I mean, we were discussing this earlier with one of our other customers. He had an issue with some polo shirts, and we're working through the process, but even at 8 years in, there's still times where you have to just figure things out, I should imagine.
Oh yeah, 100%, because experience and just the amount of presses is key. So continuously learning all the time and not just thinking, trying to do as the minimal presses. The more presses you do, the better you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you have to be going for years and years and years to be any good. But yes, just accept that you will make mistakes and it's absolutely fine. There's no issue in it whatsoever.
I think that goes for anything in starting up a new business or just in life in general, doesn't it? It's something I've had a lot of conversations about with people in terms of content, and I know that's not this podcast topic, but similar sort of avenue. And you know, the first reel you make for your business probably isn't going to be great, but you're going to have to do it anyway to make it a better one and to keep going. So yeah, just bite the bullet. And I kind of want to ask you now, because I feel like you've both shared your mistakes that you make. What would you say? I've been trying to think of something that I do on a weekly basis from a print point of view, and other than burn myself on the press a few times and fuse some transfers upside down, which probably isn't great anyway, is there anything I do, Beth? Can you think of anything?
I dare say. Next question.
I don't know. I feel like there's something. There's got to be something.
When I'm watching the lives, I do.
Oh, here we go.
I do see you always scrambling for the release paper.
That's so true. That is dead on. I never have all my equipment where it's supposed to be. Thank you, Matt. Okay, we can move on now. I feel like part of the crew. I wish we had a camera on Beth right now. The final question for today's podcast, Matt, is I would like to know, if you were to start your business now, end of 2024, start of 2025, what would you do? What would your first steps be?
Research first. Find out who you want to sell to. Do you want to start a clothing brand? Do you want to sell to skaters? Do you want to sell to fishermen? Or do you want to be the fulfillment service where you will be making workwear for everybody, local clubs, local businesses? So do your research and find out what you want to do first. Do some research on some good equipment. Just start off with a decent bit of equipment. There's no need to go too cheap and then have to replace that equipment very soon because you're just spending more money. Find a good supplier. Find a good supplier and that's it. And just get your name out there. Just tell everyone about your business and that's it.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. And yeah, I think there's so much space in the market for people to start print businesses in 2025. I don't want anyone to watch this and sit there and think, you know, there's so many printers in the market, it's oversaturated. There's not. There's, as Andy said in his talk today, I mean, what was the number for workwear? It was millions. It was so many.
Billions.
It was in the billions. Yeah, there's so much space out there for new printers in the market in all of the different niches. So if you've been thinking about starting your business and you think that 2025 is your year, take what we've said today, take Matt's advice, do some more research across our YouTube channel and make 2025 the year that you action your new heat printing business. That's it for today's episode. I just want to thank Matt very much for taking the time to be here with us. And yeah, go and check everything out that he does on Print Pro UK, that print guide. Do you want to plug any of your social channels?
You can find me on all the socials at PrintPro UK, on TikTok and Instagram as well, for starting your own business and helping you start your own business at PrintPro Matt. And if you want to join the academy or have a little look, it is the PrintPro Academy. So just get in touch there and I'll get back to you.
Perfect. Do you have anything else you want to add, Andy?
I was just going to say, if looking towards 2025, anyone's thinking of starting, some of the feedback we've got is about how to make it easier to get hold of equipment. Mm-hmm. So something that we've done recently, we've increased the options for finance for heat presses. So even if you're first starting out, there's different finance options, and there's even Klarna available on the website now. So it's just trying to make it easier. So if you really want to get started, you've got good ideas, even if you've got a job, but you want to be able to spread that cost because you just can't afford, you know, a few £1,000 at the beginning, which is understandable. There are options available to make it easy, affordable, without putting yourself into lots of debt as well.
That's it for today's podcast episode. Thank you very much to everybody for watching and listening. And don't forget to subscribe, whatever platform you're watching on. And we'll be back next week with another Garment Decorators podcast episode.